think I just bought you a new phone. I know I'm not the only one struggling out here tonight. Getting everything right. Oh, we're on. Good evening. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hope you're staying warm. Let's pray. Father, we love and honor your name. Thank you so much for our time together tonight. Father, help us to be here this weekend to not try to put on a show for anyone. Open our hearts, Father. Help us to be real, genuine, sincere. Father, help us to be dedicated to what your words tell us tonight. I pray for every family. I pray for every father that is sitting here tonight, every grandfather, every mother, every grandmother, every child. Father, thank you for bringing us all together. We thank you for this time, and help us to make the most of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to have to agree with Gordon MacDonald as he says these words. He says, I have no alternative but to bluntly call it a war. The prize is the inner spirit of my children, and the stakes are high. Arrayed against me are all of those who wish to extract money and loyalty and the strong creative energy that my son or daughter may have to give. In the eternal dimension, the prize is the soul of my children. I'm not prepared to compromise or negotiate until my children are old and wise enough to distinguish their enemies from their friends. I hold the responsibility to conduct both a defense and an offense on their behalf, demonstrating all the time how and why it is done for their benefit. It's not a phony war that the effective parent faces. It's often a jungle conflict fought with the stealth of the modern-day gorilla who appears in the day as an innocent friend, only to return at night as a bitter and exploitive foe. My eyes return to the war photo of the squad's leader, mind detector in hand, leading the way. Behind him are all the men. They follow because he has the capacity to discern the safe path. There are no careless steps. Mistakes are fatal. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I stand before you tonight to tell you that according to Deuteronomy 6 and many other passages, that we're here to anchor our family for the next century, 100 years or more. When you think about that, a father's task is to not just get his family, his children, but his children's children and those children yet to be born, Psalm 78, to heaven. But the only way to do that is that we are to be intentional, deliberate. It's a course of action that one intends or purposes to follow. George Barna writes, every respectable military strategist, educator, business manager, political leader, effective parent will agree that achieving positive outcomes rarely happens by chance. It's almost always the result of good planning and diligent implementation. Solomon said in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. Train up a child in the way. Well, here's the intentional part. You got to know the way. You got to have that mapped out. And that's why we come. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Is so that we can map out what that way looks like according to God's word, not according to mankind. John Roseman, in one of my favorite books called Parenting by the Book, writes this. He says, this is a fact. If you depart from God's plan in any area of your life, you will experience more and more serious problems than you would have encountered otherwise. What does it mean to build an intentional family? I've got four quick things for you. I want you to remember these. Number one, it's having an eternity-driven purpose. Families, are you listening tonight? It means having an eternity-driven purpose. When my kids were little, it was always that question, right? Where are we going? Dad, where are we going? We're getting in the car. Get in the car. Where are we going? Every time, my answer, heaven. Isn't that right? I mean, I don't care if it's the grocery store or church or whatever. We're going to heaven. This is whatever we're doing is adding on to that fact. It's planning for that. Wherever we go. Oh, Dad, I know, but where are we going right now? We're going to heaven. That's what we're doing here. I guess Paul said it best when he talks about the time of my departure is at hand. That word departure is the loosening of the moors of the big ship so that the ship can sail away. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And therefore, you know what lays before me? What lies before me? That eternal crown. Not to me only, but to all those who long for his appearing. Moms and dads, you got to set this tone in your family. No, it's not too late. You have to do it now. It's the family who is living so that Christ is honored in them. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, it's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now always, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. It's the family who's living for Christ. Fill in the blanks. Are you ready? Children, listen to this. Fill in the blanks. For me to live is blank. And to die is blank. No, don't, hold on. I'm going to act like I didn't hear you. Don't answer that if you don't mean it. No, I'm begging you. Don't answer it if you don't mean it. Because God knows whether you mean it or not. And it's just lip service. If you put Christ in there, and yet you know, and everybody knows you know, and your children know you, they know that you know. I don't know if any of that made sense. That what you're doing and the way that you're living and what you're really striving after is not Jesus. It's your career. It's your sports team. It's your habits. Your recreational stuff. Your stuff you like to go do. None of which are wrong. But can you say it the way he said it? For me to live is Christ. No, the idea is not just Sundays. That's the idea. It's not just Sundays. It's for me to live my life is Jesus. Because my good brothers and sisters, with all kindness, let me tell you, if there's anything else in that first blank besides Jesus, the last blank is not gain for you. It can't be. It's got to be Christ there. And the way to do that is I live my life this very day, right here, right now, having an eternity-driven purpose. Your job in your home is not to educate your children in such a way that they become CEOs or managers or supervisors or owners of a big company. That's not your job. That's the world's thinking. For us to live, for my family to live, is Christ. And to die is what I'm waiting for. It's what I long for. It's what I live for. I have no fears of death. What, are you going to threaten me with my eternal glory if you kill me? That's the idea that Paul puts forth. Listen, it's the family who knows where their real citizenship belongs. You don't belong here. You're resident aliens, sojourners. You're pilgrims in a foreign land right now. This is not your place of dwelling. This is so temporary. I mean, imagine I've got this rope, and I happen to have a long enough rope to go from here all the way around our globe back to here. It started right here and went and just took off. Took off going east. That's not probably not east. I don't know. But it just took off. And that rope went all the way around our globe to right here. And you can take a little strip of tape and put it on that rope about this wide. And that's your life right there. I mean, that's it. That's all there is. It's that long. James, brother of Jesus, would say your life is but a right? I don't know if you see it. Anything happen there? It's but a vapor, right? And appears how long? Just about that long. And goes away. Paul said, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior. I referred to George Barna. It's this book, Transforming Children into Spiritual Champions. He says this. We have no right to complain about how our children develop if we're not heavily and purposefully investing in those outcomes. May I gently ask you, stop, do not complain about your children, even the way, the age that they are and the way that they act, if you haven't been heavily invested in what you want them to look like. Because that's nobody's fault but mine. That's nobody's fault but yours. Okay. Will it be said of you and your family that when you die, that your purpose in life was to walk with God and to raise children to do the same? Does your family tonight, I want to ask you tonight, and I'm going to ask you at the end of this lesson the same thing. Do you have an eternity-driven purpose in life? Number two. Here's what intentional family means. It means being far-sighted parents and far-sighted grandparents. John Roseman, in that book I mentioned to you, Parenting by the Book, says, parents should aim their child-rearing at a target that lies some distance into the future. One's aim in this regard should be unwavering. It needs to be maintained every hour of every day in every situation. That's the idea of train up a child in the way that he should go. That way or target should be an adult of right character, of godly character. That's got to be our aim. It's the idea of, you know, Psalm 127, children are a heritage to the Lord. It's the idea of taking them as arrows in our quiver and lighting them up and sending them out. It's being farsighted. That's in contrast to being nearsighted, you know, having nearsighted parenting. Because here's how he describes nearsighted parenting. It's the idea of parenting that's synonymous with the type of parenting that's often frantic and therefore exhausting. It's because nearsighted parents are micromanagers. They are parents who are in constant short-term mode, and they tend to zigzag all over the parenting map like a ship without a compass. And he calls this kind of parenting McParenting. Yeah, McParenting. It has no value beyond that of satisfying an immediate need or reaching some short-range goal. It's the idea of this sweet 18-month-old baby that needs discipline. Well, McParenting or nearsighted parenting says, you know, let's just buy him an ice cream or a toy right now, just for right now, because we don't know what to do with them. So let's just give him something. Give him what he wants. Instead of having a farsighted view. George Barna, in his book Revolutionary Parenting, states it this way. Our research found that parents are more likely to raise spiritual champions if they accept the fact that from day one, their parenting efforts will stray from the norm and put them at odds with parents who are pursuing a more conventional approach. And George Barna, in that book, he reveals, remember I mentioned that book earlier this afternoon, of his research of all these parents who are raising multi-generational faith, right, within their children and with their children's children. He says some pretty eye-opening, challenging things, maybe even threatening to some. And of course, he defines revolutionary parents as parents who, they make their faith in God and relationship with Him their highest priority in life. And they proceed to live as intentional, devoted servants of God that raise spiritual champions. And he says there's three things that they have in common. I don't know if I should share these with you. These will, yeah. This may hurt your feelings. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and share them because I didn't write it. Is that okay? Is that fair? You can be mad at somebody else. I'm going to share them with you. These parents all had three things in common that the research showed. Are y'all with me tonight? Is it okay to hurt your feelings a little bit? Okay. Number one, he says they schedule a much greater amount of time to spend with their children every day. They schedule it. Number two, they intentionally identify their children as their main earthly focus in life during their parenting years. And number three, they're single income households. Are y'all with me? Are you with me or are you frozen? I know you're frozen, aren't you? Did you hear the last one? No, that's not George Barna making stuff up. That's the research. That's what the research is showing with all of these families that have multi-generational faith that's being passed down, and they're all faithful. Those were the three things. They intentionally identify their children as their main focus in life in their parenting years to make sure they get them to heaven. They schedule a much greater time with them while on earth every day, and they're single income families. Now, why would that be? Now, listen, I'm not trying to tell you, stand before you tonight and tell you that double income, well, some are triple income families, can't make it to heaven. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm trying to tell you is we get ourselves in such a position on this earth that everybody in the home has to work so we can pay all this debt, all these bills, and this sort of lifestyle so we can make sure and live up here where everybody else in church is living or everybody else in my neighborhood is living at the expense of what? Because I want you to listen to me, fathers and mothers. Every time you say yes to something, you have to say no to something else. Whether you want to or not. I mean, you may not mean to, but that's just the way this goes. We've been trying really hard for 21 years to practice farsighted parenting. Oh yes, our kids still make mistakes. We're not perfect by any means. But some of the stuff that we did, we had family worship together, a lot of scriptural studies and devotionals. We had open dialogue a lot about sexuality in our home. No, I'm telling you, we wanted to teach them. We wanted to teach them early. Because Satan is so ready. He's already out there. He's waiting. We had a lot of prayer and a lot of discussion about what a Christian marriage looks like. And I'll tell you tomorrow what we're teaching them as far as dating and marriage. I'm going to share that with you. A lot of prayers and discussion about becoming a Christian and what that really looks like. That it's not just wrapped up in baptism. That's not it. No, we believe that. We teach that. We always will. But we got this idea that if I baptize my kid, we're golden. Golden ticket, baby. We're good. That's not scripture. I mean, that just gets them safe. But do they stay safe? Do they stay saved? And we gave them the minor children book list that some of you know about. It's the list that they have to read of books, 13 books, before they can drive. Our 16-year-old, she just got done with hers a couple of months ago. It's that idea of here are books that impacted our lives. And you're going to read these before you go off driving. And we don't care how long that takes. But it's that idea of looking forward. Looking past the here and now. We're parenting not for the here and now, but to create adults that are godly in their character, that are men and women of integrity. That's the idea. Okay, number three tonight. Building an intentional family means implementing faith-fortified training. Faith-fortified training. We talked about that some this afternoon, so we won't spend a great deal of time, but listen to Scripture tonight. Deuteronomy 6:7. You've heard it a lot, I know, but the familiar needs to be reread. You shall teach them diligently to your children. God's principles. Diligent. Dads, are you being diligent? Fathers, are you being diligent? Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but you bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. That's the concept. So it's training. I must walk hand in hand with my child through each season of life. And therefore, I have to implement family worship, family study time, Bible time, devotional time, call it what you want, so I can make sure that my home is faith fortified. So we must sit down in the living room floor and learn how to pray. And learn that prayer is so much more than just repeating words that we've always said, that it's a relationship with God. Prayer is your voice of faith. It's you with your words expressing how much you trust Him when things are unstable and uncertain in our lives. That's what prayer is. And we study those things. And we study what purity looks like. What holiness means, that we are God's chosen, called out people to be holy as He is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. And it's spending a lot of time fortifying your faith with your family. Because if you don't schedule your time, you're going to lose it. Lots of men working 8 to 12 hours a day, being dog tired when they come home, spending all day Saturday playing golf or watching the game or working on the house, the lawn. They miss the chance to raise spiritual champions. Don't let it happen to you. Don't. Mothers are just as busy nowadays. I'm amazed at the pressure that mothers have to keep a full calendar. The pressure that you have in your families to always be busy, keeping your kids in every kind of sport, everything that comes up. That pressure is real. It's there. But you can't be too busy. If you're going to be busy, you be busy bringing up children in the Lord. I'll never forget the time that Joe Gibbs retired from coaching. He later returned to the profession, but a reporter asked him why he was calling it quits because he seemed to be on the top of his game, and Gibbs' response was legendary. He said he went home one day, one evening, after one of his normal 12 or 14 hour days, and he went by to kiss his boys goodnight to their rooms. He walked into those rooms only to discover that they had become men, and he missed it. He missed it. Listen to me tonight. There are some things you can't go back on. And I got to tell you, I say this stuff with a heavy heart tonight. Because of how many grandfathers that weep over the fact that they missed it. They spent all of their time running their children from here to yonder, involved in everything, only to find out that every single one of them are out there pursuing the world and not Jesus. We can't expect to spend our life on this earth pursuing worldly things with a spiritual outcome later. That's not how this works. God put some principles into place. And one of them is, God is not to be mocked. For whatever man sows, that shall he also. It's just the way life, it's the way God planned it. And so we can't be pursuing all of these worldly things and act like we're going to raise children who become spiritual champions later.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way. Okay, so that brings us to number four. Building an intentional family means maintaining God-honoring priorities in our homes. In other words, are we Christ followers in all that we do, or does God have rivals in your family? You know, we're talking about kingdom living first, aren't we? Matthew 6:33, you know it, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Isn't that right? Kingdom living first. This isn't hard, brethren. My beloved, there's easy tests for this. I know that Christianity is not all wrapped up in our church going, but I must say, as disciples of Jesus, going and being with God's people and publicly opening the book and worshiping God with your family is a great way of telling where your priorities are. Because if you wake up every Sunday morning and you're just too tired to make it to Bible class, maybe you ought to think first, do we have God-honoring priorities in our home? Or are we staying up all hours of the night, all weekend long, and letting our schedule dictate what we're going to be doing on Sundays? I really like what Brother Glenn Colley said in his book, Your Mama Don't Dance. Let me quote him here. It is true that there's more to Christianity than just attending the assemblies of worship and Bible classes, and yet putting a real priority on the assembly is practical, tangible, consistent way of teaching our children to be committed to Christ. Most of us need to take another look at our family's personal philosophy about attendance. Some are very weak in this area. Others come most of the time, and they believe that they're getting it right. They have kids that are there most of the time, and they choose to miss only when there's a really big game, or a really big exam in school, or they've just returned from a really big trip and they're so exhausted. And then they miss. What they don't realize is that such an approach may be paving the way for their children to quit church altogether one day. You see, when your children grow up and leave home, say for college, how often will they have a really big game, a really big exam, or be really tired, or have another really big reason for not choosing to attend the worship assembly? The answer?
Every week. Every single week.
And if you've ever gone to a place like Africa or India, we take our children over. We take our children overseas. It's part of our trying to be intentional. And any of us can do it. I mean, it's just a matter of how bad do you want it type of stuff. And you know why we take them? I mean, we want them to see what how great we really have it, and that'll do it. It's life-changing. The experiences that we've had with Micah and Mason and McKenna, we're taking her next year. The experiences that we're having with them, with taking them and working for 10 days in a village. But when your son gets to meet this family that lives 9 miles from the church, from the Lord's church, and they've got no vehicle, and they live on the side of a mountain. As a matter of fact, you stop on the busy highway and just pull over real close to the guardrail, cross over the guardrail, and there's a trail. The trail goes like this, all the way down their house on the side of this mountain. And they've built a little house on the side of the mountain. And we went down there to see them. And we slid all the way down and climbed all the way back up. And you know what that family does every single Sunday morning? They get up and they put the best clothes on that they have. And they get those children going. And they walk. And they walk all the way. Not us. Not us. We get in a car 5 minutes before anything starts. And we gripe all the way there about something. And they joyfully walk. And you know what they do when they get there? Because they make it for Bible class. They study God's Word and they stay all day long. You know how they get home? They walk all the way home. Joyfully. Having been with God's people. And you know why? Because they're sold out to the greatest cause on earth. They keep their eyes on the cross. And here in the States, if somebody gets a hangnail, we stay home. 10 drops of rain, we can't get out. We don't want anybody to get wet. And they walk every Lord's Day. Brethren, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Maybe you can explain it to me afterwards. But I can tell you this. What I'm noticing after 23 years is apathy is eating our lunch in the church. Somebody here says, who cares? Never mind. And you know what leads to apathy? You know what creates apathy? Several things. But one thing that creates apathy, this attitude of indifference. I don't care either way. What will create is comfort. And we would all raise our hand that we have created lives of comfort. Our homes, our jobs, our cars, our clothes, our activities, our worship, our church buildings, every facet of life in the States is about comfort. And when you're comfortable, you're not dependent anymore. And priorities start slipping to keep the comfort. And God is no longer first. You're first. I'm first. And so our first question in our family is not, is it comfortable? Or is it funny or acceptable or affordable or normal or permissible or doable? But is it God-honoring? And whatever you do, or in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Is God honored in everything that we do in our family, or does He have rivals? Because I got to tell you, God doesn't do rivals. He does not accept us being fans of Him. He only wants followers. Our home must be made up of followers of Jesus, not fans. Fans are enthusiastic admirers. Fans don't quit their jobs because there's temptation that's too strong. Fans don't sing all to Jesus, I surrender all. That's what followers sing. Fans don't leave a sermon or a gathering like this and shut down the media and change the things that are stealing the hearts of our children. Fans don't do that. Followers do that. Fans don't bow out of worldly things that are going on in our lives. Followers do that. Fans bail out when the going gets tough, when they get offended. Fans are pew sitters. Their Christianity is wrapped up in going to church on Sunday morning and think that they've done their Christian duty. That's what a fan is. But when it gets hard and when there's persecution, when there's harassment or trials, fans bail. Followers of Jesus surrender self and take on the death of Jesus. Followers deny self. Isn't that what our Lord said? Are you denying self today? If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. That's what followers do. They give up for Jesus. Have you been intentional with your family, creating disciples, true disciples of Jesus, and not fans of Jesus? Are we sold out to His cause? That's the idea. You may sit here tonight and go, that hurts a little bit. I hope it kind of does. It hurts me too. I get it. But I'm not saying this stuff so that we can leave this place later in the week and go back to normal. That's not why we're here. That's not why I'm here. I say these things so that we can go to heaven together. Because listen to me. You listen to this. The idea of raising a family is that you're looking long-term through the generations. And some of you are anchor men, anchor women. I mean, this is faith for you, and you can't go backwards and look. It starts with you. And some of us are chain, links in the chain, right? That's me. I'm a link in the chain of it. Going all the way back past Big Mama. Going all the way back. What about you? No, I'm serious. What changes do you need to make to be intentional parents, intentional Christians? So here's the question for you. I told you we were going to end with it. Does your family have an eternity-driven purpose in your life? And if you sit here today and go, I'm not sure, you come and find me. Grab your children and come find me. I'll show you how to find out. Because your children will tell you. That's what I love about. I usually don't get to know people just standing and talking to them. I grab their children. And I did it by the fire tonight. Hey, tell me who your dad is. Right over there. Tell me about him. That's right. Some of you better get nervous. Because they're honest. They're forthright. They shoot you straight. It is what it is. This is our home. If you're wondering, maybe you should sit down and ask your children. Do we do those things that Mr. Steve talked about? Is that our family? Or are we playing games? Are you playing games? Or are you intentional about getting your family to heaven? So we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this song now. And I want to tell you, you don't have to stand. That's just going to be too difficult for most of us. A lot of people holding babies, things like that. You can stay seated. But I do want you to know that during the song, if you want somebody to talk to or to pray with, Joe's going to be back here in the back. And you can get up there and you can go back there and you can talk to Joe. And he'll pray with you, cry with you, talk with you. Or if you want to catch one of us afterwards, we have to become intentional families with an eternity-driven purpose. God is doing stuff. God has been setting this up long before you ever came yesterday or today. He's been working on your hearts. We've been praying for it. We've been praying that your heart is broken or softened to a point that you'll change. That the world can look at us right here, these families right here, and go, that's what we want. We want to be like this. Today's that day. This is your week. This is a part of your story of getting your family to heaven. And we're here to help you with that. That's how serious we are. We've dedicated our lives to it. That's why we hope to continue this kind of thing. So that families could, because we haven't been getting this right. Apathy has set in the church. And we have to get this right. If God has touched your heart tonight, let us help you with that. Or it may be that you just need to get your family together and make some changes. However we can help you, let us do so as we sing this song together.
There's a fountain. Love from the source above, and he bids us off. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come to the wind.